Track 14. This month, our resident historian tells the story of a Norwich musician who made Mozart look like a late developer.
Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, born in 1756, was renowned as a child prodigy. He could play the harpsichord at the age of three and was touring to perform concerts by the time he was six. Pretty impressive. But just 19 years later in Norwich, a musician was born who made Mozart look like a late developer. William Crutch, the son of Michael, a carpenter, was born in Colgate in 1775. By the age of two, entirely self-taught, he could play by ear the national anthem. By the age of three, he was touring to give concerts, and at the age of just three and a half, he was performing for royalty. He had the opportunity to do so because his father, who was an enthusiastic amateur musician, had used his own trade skills to build a small pipe organ for his own amusement. Mozart's father was also a musician, but of a rather different stamp. He was a professional musician in the service of the Prince Archbishop of Salzburg and a renowned teacher of music. He had all the connections that Michael Crutch did not. Yet it was the Norwich boy who gained acclaim at the younger age. It was not William's father, but his mother who was the driving force behind the speed of which he gained fame. Whether she was just a proud mum, anxious to show off the talents of her remarkable son, or an opportunist intent on profiting from those talents herself, it is difficult to say. I suspect that she started as the proud mum, but then became more interested in the commercial use of his talent as time went on. Initially, neither parent talked about William's talent outside of the family circle, but it wasn't long before word of his skill began to spread. Among those to take an interest in the child was Charles Burney, father of Fanny Burney and one-time organist at St. Margaret's Church, King's Lynn. By now back in London, Charles Burney was an important and influential member of society, recognised as an outstanding musician and tutor. Such was his interest in William Crutch that he wrote about him in the Royal Society and the Gentleman's Magazine, describing him as totally untutored and comparing his compositions to the native notes of a lark or a blackbird. But these comments were written less as a criticism of William and more in the belief that with care and a proper education, he would be even better. He was doing well enough, commercially at least. His mother had taken him on a tour, first in 1778, to various locations which were fairly local, mainly in Suffolk, but within months he was playing in London, where he was introduced to J.C. Bach, who was music master to Queen Charlotte, and who had previously met Mozart when the latter was aged eight, and on whom he is said to have had a great influence. It may well have been that J.C. Bach was responsible for William's early introduction to performing before royalty. Buckingham House had been built originally as a town residence for the Duke of Buckingham, but in 1761 it was bought by George III as a gift for Queen Charlotte and became known as the Queen's House. It was not until the 1790s that it became the Buckingham Palace that we know today. It was therefore still the Queen's House when William came to play the organ there in January 1779. His audience comprised not just Bach's pupil, the Queen, but also the King and other members of the royal family for his first royal performance. 3 months later, still before his fourth birthday, his nascent career was featured in the Illustrated London News. But all the adulation seems to have gone a little bit to his head, causing him, for example, to stop mid-performance and refuse to continue until indulged with a gift of cake or fruit. Perhaps, unsurprisingly, he was becoming a little spoiled by all the attention. He was still lacking anything but the most basic educational training. Some help with reading and writing from his older half-brother was about the lot. And his combination of spoilt behaviour and inadequate learning at this early stage in life was something he came to recognize himself later. Others recognized it earlier, Charles Burney for one. In 1783, when William was just 8, Burney wrote of him that he seemed too easily satisfied with the quality of his own performances and contemptuous of instruction given by what Burney described as his weak and vulgar mother and her friends. It was at the age of 8 when William was in Oxford that he had the great good fortune to attract the interest of Alexander Croucher Schomburgk, the poet and writer, himself Norfolk-born nearly 20 years earlier than William. Schomburgk, though initially sceptical about the reputed William's talents, agreed to meet and hear him, becoming so taken with the boy that he agreed to become responsible for his ongoing education. Various options were considered for his further development, from being given a place at Rugby to a choristership at Magdalen, the Oxford college of which Schomburgk was tutor. But it was eventually Cambridge which was chosen, and at the age of 11 he moved there with his mother to become the very youthful assistant to the existing professor of music, the septuagenarian John Randall. Here he benefited from some general education with other members of the university, while Randall helped him to develop his skills on the organ. As part of his duties, he also played at various colleges, including King's, and gave numerous other concert performances. He was just 2 years at Cambridge before Schomburgk brought him back to Oxford, but they were important years in which he developed both his musical skills and his broader education. It was also while at Cambridge that he began, under Schomburgk's influence, to take his first steps in composition. Schomburgk brought him back to Oxford a much more rounded individual with a wider range of interests. He had proved to have considerable talent for art. Some of the works he painted after his return to Oxford are exhibited at the Castle Museum at Norwich. Schomburgk had planned that the new, rather more erudite William might train for the priesthood, but declining health a couple of years after the recall of William reduced the support he could give his protégé. By this time, William was free of the influence of his mother, who, having separated from his father, elected to remain in Cambridge. William's skills became widely appreciated, and he was appointed organist at the Christchurch Cathedral, coincidentally the site of the ordination of Charles Wesley, another child prodigy who had taken an interest in William from an early stage. But this was just one of the fingers that William had in the pie of the Oxford musical scene. One important location of this scene was the Holywell Music Room, part of Wadham College. Built in 1748, it is believed to be the first purpose-built concert hall in the country, perhaps in Europe, about 40 years before William Crotch came back to Oxford. William, as a late teenager, was appointed director of Holywell. This was a prestigious appointment. Among those who played there were Haydn and Handel, the former quite possibly in William's time as director. Other appointments followed. While in Oxford, William had taken lodgings with Robert Bliss, an eminent bookseller who came from a distinguished academic family, and at the age of 22, he married Bliss's daughter, Martha. William was becoming a well-known figure in the music world nationally, and he began to lecture not just in Oxford, but also in London, where the fees he earned were considerable. And at the age of 30, while retaining his Oxford appointments, he moved to London. As well as lecturing, he continued to teach, to compose, and to give concerts. His compositions included two symphonies and much sacred music. But sadly, his work in this field was not anywhere near as memorable as that of his almost contemporaneous prodigy, Mozart. Once in London, he was appointed as the first principal of the Royal Academy of Music, a post he held for about 10 years, in which time his resignation was demanded after he was seen kissing a female student. He ascribed his motivation to a wish to reward her for a particularly good performance. It is doubtful that this rather limited licentiousness was the real reason for his effective dismissal. His relationship with the management committee had not always been smooth, and he was a determined man of strong views which were not to the taste of everybody. He had a strongly commercial streak, and always had been tough in negotiations when it came to his fees. His resignation came in the midst of some personal sadness. His marriage to Martha had been a happy one. They had 5 children, one of whom had died in infancy. Now 3 more of them had died in early adulthood, 2 during his time as principal, and the 3rd in the year he left the Royal Academy. He continued to teach, occasionally to perform and to write his memoirs. His health deteriorated, and eventually he and Martha accepted an invitation to live with his surviving son, the ordained headmaster of Taunton Grammar School, where he died in 1847. William Crotch may not have left a body of work to compare with that of his near-contemporary child prodigy, and thus is not as well remembered. But he was undoubtedly a man of extraordinary talent, who rose from the most ordinary of backgrounds to a position of contemporary renown in the field of music. He was also a realist, acknowledging in later life that he looked back on his early days with pain and humiliation at being such a spoilt child. On his death, he left an estate of about £18,000, equivalent today to something in the order of £1.6 million. It is said that, outside of music circles, he is little remembered. He was certainly a man of whom Norfolk can be proud.